Sweet. Well, welcome to the first episode of Topographical with Bruce. Tonight I'm sitting down with good mate Jason Elliott. We're going to go over a few yarns about a recent pack rafting trip we did through the Waimak Gorge. It was an absolute bloody awesome trip. First big trip for me and first time on a pack raft for Jason. So we've got some good yarns from that. Unfortunately, not a lot of hunting happened. But first, let's go over this episode's hot topics and find a little bit more about Jason, and we've got a little bit of an organization spotlight to go over there first as well. So, first up on the hot topics is the tar ballots. Tar ballots are opening in a couple of days, so it's currently Thursday, the 29th of September, and applications open for the tar ballot on Tuesday, the 4th of October, so next Tuesday. So this podcast should be coming out sometime this weekend. So by the time you hear this, it's time to get your fingers on the keyboard and start dialing up your mates and figuring out what you're doing for. Well, actually, you probably should already have been talking to your mates, and you need to figure out what you're going to be doing for next year's tar belt. So you've got. That's opening Tuesday, 4th of October, and the applications are closing on Friday, the 28th of October. So you've pretty much got a whole month to get your name in the hat there and figure it out. Have you done any tar ballots, Chase?
I haven't. I put in for this year just being, but didn't have any luck getting the ballot, but it's definitely on the to-do list.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a pretty neat trip I've done. I've done two now, one into the Edison last year, and then this year we had the Jacobs. And it's just, yeah, it's bloody awesome. It's a different kind of a hunt than sort of what I'm usually running. You know, you fly in, take all the gear. Had the MIA this year, it was bloody brilliant, especially when we had all that rain. So, yeah, if you haven't done a tar ballot yet, get your boys together, rattle your dags, and sort it out and get in there next year because it's a bloody awesome one. Next little hot topic is the Wapiti ballots. Same thing, really. Entries are opening from midnight on the 1st of October, which I think must be Saturday night. Yeah. So once again, you've got pretty much the. No, you've got 2 months, 1st of October through till the 30th of November. So you got 2 bloody months there to figure out what you're going to do for the Wapiti ballot. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss out on it for the second year in a row here because I'm going to bugger off overseas, I think, for that sort of time period. What about you, Jace? You thinking you'll jump in for a Wapiti ballot or?
Yeah, I'll have a go. I think I'm more intimidated by the Wapiti ballot than the tar ballot in terms of hunting and just the terrain and things. So I think I need to
Yep.
try find some people who
Know
actually
what they're
kind of know
doing.
what. Yeah, exactly.
Now I last year went in with my old man and a couple of his mates, and actually went in with we one of the young boys. He was 14 and he trucked all the way into the Upper Glasenock. Didn't complain a single time, just marched all in there. But he was running fitter than the rest of us.
Yeah, good on
Absolute
him.
champ. Shout out to Will Hancock's bloody legend. But yeah, it sucked for us because we had some miserable shit weather pretty much the whole time, and we went in there and we just got wet, and I think we had a heap of delays. We couldn't get across the lake because it was too rough, and then when we finally did get in there, it just rained, and it was just that typical Fiordland that you hear about where everything's just wet, and it sucks. But somehow it sucked for the whole time, and I absolutely loved it. So, definitely keen to get my toe in the board again and try it another time. So,
It
maybe
definitely
we should.
sounds like, that's what you're signing up for down there. Some pretty inclement weather, and it's almost part of the attraction.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. And they're doing such a good job with like with the foundation and whatnot, just sort of like the quality of the trophies that are coming out of there now are just starting to get out of hand. Like, that, you know, people are starting to knock on the door of similar sort of trophies that they're pulling out of North America, which has really come down to the fact that the Wapiti Foundation's doing great work. They're doing a bit of culling down there, and then they're also doing a hell of a lot of education with the hunters, and then the hunters are really taking that on board and saying, no, I'm not just going to turn up and shoot anything. I'm going to turn up and bust my ass and have a miserable, shitty time in the rain for a week. And if all things go well, I might come across something real old and real dandy and I'll knock it over, which I think is quite cool.
Yeah, and also just being happy to spend a week in the rain and then just walk out with nothing.
Yeah.
And that we're all kind of learning that that's an okay outcome.
Yeah, it's more about the experience of just going in there and having a good time than it is about killing something. Like, if you want to go kill shit, there's plenty of goats floating around. you know, I think you knock on anyone's door in Taranaki King Country and there'll be at least 30 goats you can go shoot for the day. So, yeah. But that's sort of that for the hot topics. Essentially, we're going to run through on each episode and have a bit of a hot topic talk about. So, yeah, anything you want to add to that there, Jace?
No, it sounds good. It's pretty exciting and a good reminder to kind of get online next week and start getting these applications sorted. So thanks for that. I'll be making sure that's on my to-do list.
Yeah, nice. All right, moving on from the hot topics to the organisation spotlight. So recently I've been doing a bit of travel for work down through the sort of Mackenzie Country and South Canterbury and sort of Northern Otago areas, and there's a lot of wallabies running around down there, and a lot of wallaby people killing wallabies on the road, and a few signs, and I seen a sign the other day and it said reportwallabies.co.nz, and I thought, shit, look at that, I'll have a gander at that. So while I was actually having a look for some info on that tonight, I come across a brand new, fresh, one day old post on the NZDA website about wallabies in the Otago region and how they're causing serious damage to the environment. So I thought that was quite good timing. So I thought we'll talk about the wallabies today. Essentially, these buggers were brought into the country years ago and now they're just raping and pillaging the countryside. I think there's a lot in the Bay of Plenty and sort of into the Rotorua-ish area, and then there's a fair bit running around like South Canterbury and into the Northern Otago, and pretty much they're a pest that we really need to crack down on. So there's a whole lot going on getting rid of them, and I'll just see here. If we don't get rid of these pests, the economic cost could reach $84 million by the year 2020, $84 million a year by 2025, in lost farm production, biodiversity, and ecosystem services. So, obviously, it's a fair bit of farming and wildlife, and you know the old native flora and fauna that's going to get raped by these little buggers. So the whole thing they're talking about is you can jump on this website, which it's kind of actually a bit of a prick to Google. So I'll chuck the old link in the description for you. But the best thing to do is literally just type in www.reportwallabies.co.nz. No, actually, that's a lie. It's .nz. Reportwallabies.nz. And it takes you through to just like a little bit of a survey here. And you fill out your little survey, whether you saw a wallaby, you saw some sign, or the wallaby was actively culled. So if you're seeing wallabies around, report them and do your little part as a bit of a conservationist there. Whether you're out there shooting them yourself or whether you're just seeing them, anything will help these guys. I know there's a fair few guys out there doing sort of professional work and trying to cull them. So do something about it. Yeah. Have you hunted them, Jace?
No, is the answer. I've been hunting in areas where they are. Yep. And they certainly give you a fright, you know, busting out of a bush when you're expecting a bird to fly out of it. But yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity. I think it's, you know, hunters spend so much time out on the hill, and we end up seeing so much more of what's out there than a lot of organisations and a lot of probably even conservationists and things. So we're actually a massive resource that can really help and make a difference for this kind of stuff. And you really have to feel for the farmers. You know, we were lucky enough to be led onto a few properties, and you can just see them doing battle with wallabies constantly, you know, paying pest controllers to come through their property and doing poison drops and all that kind of stuff, just because they're just trying to stay viable and you know, have a semi-profitable business. So it's pretty tough for those guys, and that's why it's pretty, you know, important for to kind of call it in when you're seeing sign out there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, well, that is enough on the wallabies. If you're seeing them, report them, reportwallabies.nz, and I'll throw a link to that NZDA article, Hudaki, there on the old link in the description set up. I'll figure out how to do that. And then you can have a look and figure some things out about wallabies. All right, moving on. Let's talk about this recent trip we did, Jace. How good was that?
Pretty good, eh? Pretty, you know, flying by the seat of your pants. Oh, yeah, long weekend. Let's do something. And it turned out to be a doozy of a trip.
Yeah. So, I guess, well, it all started, yeah, when the old queen died. And Cindy announced that we're going to have a bloody holiday off. I was thinking to myself, shit, where am I going to go? This is a nice extra long weekend, go away hunting, probably run the pack raft. And not half an hour later, I get a text message from you saying, where are we going? So, yeah.
You just have to take the opportunities for the long weekend. I'm based up in Auckland, so when you get the extra day, it is pretty meaningful to be able to allow you to go further afield. It makes it a lot more worthwhile to kind of get down country. So it was a no-brainer from my end. Just as soon as it was announced, was like, all right, high chance Bruce is keen for something. So just fired you a message.
Yeah, nah, good on you. So we'll run us through it. You jumped on the plane with your dog, Monty, and got down here, and I'll let you tell the story. Where'd we go?
Yeah, it was the first time I've got a 7-year-old Brittany that I do a bit of deer stalking and bird hunting with, and it was the first time kind of taking him on the plane. So I borrowed the box and off a friend, flew him down, and yeah, met up with Bruce on the Friday night. You know, Bruce was kind enough to pick up my pack raft that I'd hired. And then Saturday morning, we were into it. We took two cars, dropped one at the... You'll have to chime in here with the names, Bruce, if you like.
At the State Highway 72 bridge at the bottom of the gorge, the Wymat Gorge Bridge. So, yeah, we dropped the car there and then whipped up to the Mount White Bridge, and that's where we left the top car.
Yeah, and it was a gorgeous day, Saturday morning. We were into it pretty early.
Yeah.
Stopped for a few pies at Sheffield on the way and, got the rafts all sorted and loaded up. I think we had a few kind of rejigs of how we're attaching our kit. Both of us had kind of big duffel bags that were semi-waterproof, kind of strapped down to the front with the gun strapped across the top of that. But yeah, it took us a few Took us a day or so to figure out the
bit of re-rigging a few times, eh? I think the first within the first 200 meters, I'd realised that my rigging was dog shit because I had I had too much weight over the front, but my rifle was too far back, and so I couldn't actually do like full strokes with the old paddle without the old rifle getting in the way. So yeah, there was a bit of that, eh? And then those first set of rapids, sort of. Well, not so much rapids, just a bit of rough water and the braided stuff there, where we started realizing you gotta get that tie down quite right, eh, so that you don't drop your nose too far in the water. I've actually got quite a good clip of you swinging past, and because you've got your bloody pack on the front and your dog, your nose is bloody halfway under the ground, bulldozing the river as you go past.
Yeah, the dog had a bit of a habit of of dancing around it at some less than opportune moments. But yeah, just a bit of an overview of what we did. We spent that first day rafting for kind of three quarters of the day, and then pulled in and set camp at was it Salmon Creek? Is that the...
Yeah, so Salmon Creek's where we pulled up for the night there, but... We'll back it up a bit. So it was about 20 kilometres of rafting from the bridge to the gorge. I think it might have been 25 kilometres to, like, where you hit in the gorge after the Esk pull. So it was pretty cruisy on our way down there, wasn't it? Really, like, there was no majors. The odd splash and a bit of water coming in the rafts. We pulled up at Hamilton Hut, eh? Smoker, that was bloody good.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous little spot, actually. Just perched on a little perched on the hill above a right angle corner of the river, and it's got a bit of elevation, so you get a beautiful view kind of down the river. And yeah, we stopped there, bit of salami and cheese on crackers, and had a brew and just enjoying the sunshine, really. We're both a bit wet by that stage. Open pack grass, really. They're good, but you certainly take a couple of water.
Yeah, I definitely, especially that sort of first set of rapids there at the top of the gorge before you get to Hamilton Hut there. That was sort of the first big water we hit, and I kind of pussyfooted it around. Like, I didn't really know what I was doing, so I was like half-ass. That's one thing I noticed, and I know, like, watching you come down, and then even just noticing with myself, like, at the start of the trip, we're like pussyfooting around these waves and like not really knowing like how we're doing or what. But then by the end of on the last day, we're just like paddling as hard as we can straight into the biggest wave we can see and just giving it heaps. And we'd sort of figured out that, like, getting into the rapid, it was the better spot than being in that, like, sort of
the swirly stuff.
Yeah, that swirly whirly shit on the side was dog tucker, eh? Like, yeah. No good at all.
Yeah, I definitely felt a lot more comfortable by the end of it compared to the start. It was felt like a bit more of a luck game for that first day rather than a
skill.
Any kind of competency that was kind of keeping me going at that stage.
I mean, to be fair, that was like the only pack rafting you've ever done is this trip. So by day three, you're bloody infinitely more experienced than you were when you started.
Yeah. I think the same goes for the dog as well. He went swimming pretty frequently over that first day.
Pretty
amusing, but
yeah.
He looked a bit precious. He was wearing a life jacket, because I thought if I'm good enough for a life jacket, then the dog certainly is, which some people might find ridiculous. But having the handle on the back certainly made it a lot easier to drag him back aboard.
Yeah,
I'm honestly not sure how I would have done it without that kind of grab handle.
Oh, there would have been a lot of mucking around having to pull up on the beach.
Yeah, what would often happen. The rafts are remarkably stable, actually, and the further you dig down on one side, the more, you know, buoyancy, the more kind of the tube would get submerged, so you get more buoyancy on that side.
Yeah.
But that said, would often get a bit of angle on, and the dog was pretty poor at holding on, obviously. And so he'd just kind of slide off, and with his weight gone, it was quite easy for me to stay upright. But then he would, you know, either swim to the bank, run down to kind of catch up, and then swim back out to me, or I could just paddle over to him before he made it to the bank and, and haul him aboard.
It's just a mess, isn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty funny, but he didn't seem to have any lasting trauma from from it all.
Boy then, wasn't he?
Kept coming back for more, so haven't traumatized the poor pup.
Oh, he's been a good boy. I'll just pull up on the screen here. So I got that photo in that shared album there of you, that first photo in the album of you bloody cuddling the dog.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Right at the top there when in that clear water.
So this was...
run us through. What's happening in that photo there?
So this wouldn't be long on the river. And it's probably a good overview of kind of our setup. We had the, the big duffel at the front with the rifle, and you can see my little day bag just behind the duffel. And we kind of changed that around later on to get a bit more weight behind me, put the day bag at the back. But yeah, this is kind of how we started. Monty sitting between my legs and trying to paddle over the top of his head and stunning clear water. Yeah, just ridiculous. You know, we just kind of drifted through. The rapids were very minimal at this top end. And it was just gorgeous, really. We were drifting down. There's a bit of kind of high country farmland and the snowy peaks in the background. It was a blissful start to the day, to be honest. It was very relaxing and a great way to kind of start. I think the way it kind of panned out, overall, it was a good trip to do for our experience levels.
It was good, eh? And it was late, like sort of just the layout of the whole river on the trip was quite good because it kind of eased us into it. So,
yeah, exactly.
Like, for me, I'd done the Rakaia Gorge a few weeks ago, and then I did a little bit on the lower Waimak the other week, which was a fucking balls up. I had the it's actually I'll throw in a clip from that trip. It was it balls up. It was like Friday night and I had something on Saturday, but I still wanted to get out and go and do something. So I jumped on my bike and biked up the side of the Waimak from the State Highway 1 bridge, and I biked 20k up and then camped the night there and woke up to a bloody cold morning, a bit of ice and maybe a little bit unprepared on the amount of gear I bought, you know. So it was a bit cold when I got up in the morning and all that happy with my packing decisions the night before. And then I jumped on the raft and like strapped the bike onto the front, and I'd watched a couple of videos on YouTube like how to strap a bike. And at this stage I'd never this is the first time I'd like put a load on my pack raft, so no fucking idea what I'm doing. and that became really evident about 200 meters into my trip. So I like strapped the bike on the front and then put my pack on top of the bike, and then I got this little like tripod thing for my phone and like set that up so I could like film myself going down there. And you know, because I'm such a vain prick and I'm just always filming myself, and then also set up a second camera to also film myself hanging off the handlebars, which was like I just had a GoPro like on a roll bar mount strapped to this like stick that I found. It was like tied to the handlebars and stuck out the side. Gave a really sick angle though, actually. It's really cool. You'll never see that footage because about 200 meters after I'd kicked off and I'm floating along and I was busy mucking around, like staring at the camera and talking shit and whatever, not paying attention to the river like you should be. And didn't quite get the boogie I needed around the first corner and just got pushed wide and into the bank, and then the stick that was sticking out holding the GoPro gets bloody tangled up in the willows, and then water starts coming in the boat. Boat sideways. I've got to jump out. I managed to grab my phone to like save that, and somehow along the way, I've like turned the video on and off and on and off a few times. So there's a heap of these little short clips of like the boat tumbling down the river and the thing, and me going, "Oh fuck, shit, yeah," you know, like. So yeah, that's that's a good laugh. So that sort of sums up the entire experience of either of us had in bloody Packraft, doesn't it? So when it comes to do this big trip, we're about to do 3 days, like 67 kilometers or something over 3 days with some decent water. So it was good having that cruisy first day, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think overall it was the right piece of river to start on. You know, and it was just, I couldn't believe how kind of close to Christchurch it was, and no walking. Not that you know, either of us mind that, but you know, just put a car at the bottom, car at the top, and away you go. The accessibility of it all was just mind blowing.
Yeah, the barrier to entry for this trip was two cars.
Yeah, like yeah, very low. Like
that was yeah, and I mean you could run one car if you had a bit of time for a hitchhike, but. Yeah, yeah, essentially the barrier to entry is two cars, and you didn't even need a four-wheel drive or any carry-on like that. Like it's just straight into it. So
yeah. I must admit, I was because when I first reached out to Bruce to kind of understand, you know, saying we should do a trip, and you recommended the Wimac. My kind of memories of the Wimac is the lower reaches of the Wimac back from when I was at uni in Canterbury, and I was dubious, but I kept I think I told you on the second afternoon, I was like, this is substantially better than I thought it was going to be. The Wimac, the upper reaches of the Wimac are far more interesting than the braided bottom end.
Yes, they are. They are. Yeah.
So yeah, I was quite surprised.
Yeah. Flick through on your phone there to that bloody picture of Monty just looking like an absolute god sitting on the boat. How good's that?
He does take a pretty good photo of Monty.
Yeah. He's such a good boy, eh? And then flick to that next photo of you rafting under that cliff.
Yeah, this was you can see the kind of splashes of water. We definitely both just would slowly accumulate water through the course of the day and have to stop to have the odd tip out.
Everybody 10 kilometers or something, or maybe not even that, 5 kilometers. Like, I suppose it depended, though. Some rapids you wouldn't get bugger all water, and sometimes you just take a wave wrong and the whole boat's like your balls deep in water.
Yeah.
And
that was kind of the threshold once the water got a bit too deep to get water where you don't want it to be sitting, especially when it's that cold.
Yeah.
That was kind of the trigger point to get out.
Yeah.
But Monty was pretty good just sitting on the front there.
Nice.
He's a handy little size for people.
He's a very handy little size, eh?
Yeah. Unfamiliar with Brittany's, they kind of max out at like 18 kilos kind of thing, and Monty's at the bigger end of the breed, so he's kind of 17, but yeah, just a handy little size, really fit into small places for these things, so super handy. Yeah,
he was actually real handy. So sort of at the end of our first day there, when we got down the we pulled up at the salmon and we went for that little hunt that evening. We kind of buggered that up, eh? And we spent too much time. We couldn't do too much about it. We could have got up earlier. But we kind of, we could have got up earlier. The first day we spent too long rafting. And so by the time we got to our first campsite, we sort of pushed for time. We only had about an hour or so. Yeah, it was probably only an hour of light to go for a quick hunt up the old salmon stream, which it would have been like sometime in August last year. I was up the salmon stream with a mate, and he shot a chamois. It was quite nice. That was his first chamois. I still haven't bloody shot one, so Need to pull finger and sort that out. So we went up there thinking, you know, we might run into another one. But we were a bit pushed for time and run out of light and whatnot. But it was bloody handy just like in those few times where you had to pick the dog up and throw him up a bank or over a log or something. The fact that he's a tiny little nimble bugger, you just throw him around and he's happy as Larry, eh?
Yeah, he's easy to pick up or, you know, like you'd just hold him by the scruff of the neck as you're going across a deeper, swifter section of creek and very manageable, which is handy.
Or don't hold him and let him get washed down through that rapid.
Yeah, that happens as well. His trust is...
It's high. But he just
keeps coming back for it.
He just comes straight back and he's like, no, I'll be fine. If the boss has gone there, I'll be able to go there.
Yeah.
So yeah. He figures it out.
Always makes me laugh. He doesn't bring head torches, though.
No, neither do you, useless bugger. So.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that whole torch palaver, like, it really turned into a palaver, didn't it? Because we...
It was a palaver.
So we leave camp, and Jay says to me, oh, have you got a head torch? And I was like, yeah, I've got two.
In my defense, we weren't that far from camp.
No, we weren't that far. And I was like...
Maybe like 150, 200 meters max.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, I've forgotten my head torch.
Yeah. And I was like, no, don't worry. I've got like four torches on me or something, which is overkill, I know. But, like, they're not all, yeah. Anyway, so.
You'd think it was overkill.
Four torches on me. And then, we're walking up the hill and it gets dark and we go to turn around and we're like, all right, we'll pull the torches out. So I pull one headlight out, whack the old. Well, I was looking, so my go-to head torch is this little bloody black diamond thing. It's absolute. Stunner of a torch because you can lock it and so it can't turn on. So you put batteries in it and you know the batteries are still going to be full when you go to use it again. But no, that wasn't in my pack. That was buddy back in one of my dry bags because I'm a fool. So I pull out this lead lenser thing that I actually found in a tree in Stewart Island when we were down there at the start of the year.
It was a tree stand. Like someone had made this.
It was like
tree
a half-assed
stand.
Made up tree stand. Yeah. So. That was kind of cool. I found that. But anyway, and it's like one of those, I think they're called like a H5 or H7 or something, you know, just the standard old lead lenser headlight. And great torch, but they absolutely suck. Like, I mean, I was going to say if anyone from lead lenses listen to this, but they won't be.
That's my main torch.
Yeah, no, but they suck because you can't, you're always, like the old man's got one and I'm always walking along like looking at his pocket. I'm like, bro, your light's on. Like, you can't, the fact that you can't lock it and that the light is so easy to turn on, like, you just constantly run out of battery. So, anyway, I get this thing and it starts flickering to tell me it's low on battery. And I'm like, oh, shit. So, I got to change batteries. And everything else I runs AAAs. And so, I pull the AAAs out and I open this thing up. It's fucking AAs. And I'm just ripped for just being a useless prick and not being organized. So, I'm like, fuck. So, I got that, and at this stage, it's too dark for Jace to do any walking. So I give Jace the lead lenser thing, and I take the, I've got this little Petzl E-Light thing that runs on like a watch battery, a CR32. So I pull that out and put it on, and it's about no good for anything, but you can see your dick if you need to have a piss kind of set up. So I'm running that so I can see kind of where Jason's been. Jason's leading the way, and then that thing like runs out, so I give him a little handheld torch. I think the handheld torch runs out of battery, so I bloody swap that over. Like, it was just it was a nightmare, wasn't it?
It was a circus, yeah.
And then didn't know that one you had the one on your head and it ran out while you were like back climbing down some shitty little rock,
yeah.
And it just turned off on the A, and you're just hanging on the side of the cliff in the dark, like, no good,
yeah. Bruce got down this boulder. And then I pass the dog down. And then I'm climbing down, you know, facing the wall. And then halfway down the torch goes, like, oh, come on. Bruce, so, give me something.
That's what you get for being useless, disorganized pricks. Like, make sure you got your headlight. Make sure you've got batteries for your headlight. And make sure you've got a backup bloody headlight. Well, we're lucky I had my little backup petal E-light thing.
We were lucky you had that many in your bag.
Yeah.
And it was, it's this kind of deep little creek,
and there's constant creek crossings the whole way down.
Yeah, and boulder.
And we were absolutely tired. I think we'd done over 40 Ks in the bloody rafts that day, so I was absolutely knackered. I was slipping over all over the show. I ended up, I got like a big bruised fingernail where I just slammed, like I was holding my rifle, and I just slammed the rifle and my hand into the fucking rock. But good thing with the old 303, no scope to bump or anything on there, you know. Sights are welded on, so everything's good to go.
And the wooden stock really soaks it up, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was day one, I suppose. We had a cracking fire that night to dry some gear out. Get everything roaring and going. And then carry on, bud. Tell us what we get up to the next day, I suppose. I'll leave you. Yeah,
so I guess we were pretty tuckered out after that first day. And
we overcooked it, eh? Like, we went too far for
I think it was just the fact we had, like, a short night the night before. You're allowed to be tired. I was tired. And so we had a bit of a sleeping on this would have been the Sunday. Had a bit of a sleep in and got ourselves sorted, broke camp and got the rafts sorted. And by now we're kind of in the kind of rafting's taken on a bit of a different style, and there's more rapids. And it was especially the straight rapids weren't so much of an issue because you just kind of bounced through them and it wasn't a problem. But it was the corners that I personally found a bit more intimidating. The water would just kind of come down and slam into these rock walls. And
you'd be you're kind of stuck in that on. So say if the river's doing like a hard left turn on the right-hand side of the river, sort of where it's slamming into the wall, is just this like big googly wave sucky thing, looks intimidating as hell. And then like on the inside corner on the left side of the river, you'd have this like flat water that looked real pleasant, and like that's the sort of water you'd probably run your jet boat through, because like you can stay out of the wave and you've got a whole bunch of horsepower to get yourself out of there. But when you're in a pack craft running two arms and you're already tired, there's not a lot of horsepower going on, so you kind of got into those little waves, and it'd be like a little weird back eddy, and it starts sucking you around. Probably took us one too many of those to learn that they sucked and that we should just ball up and ram into the wave and just get straight through there, eh?
Yeah, exactly. I think initially we were kind of, we wanted to avoid the wall at all costs, and so we'd end up in this eddy, but where the kind of main flow and the eddy met was kind of this, like, you know, the water would just kind of suck you down, and the kind of flexible nature of the rafts versus, I imagine, like a rigid kayak or something, it just seemed to like grip it a bit more.
Yeah.
So you'd kind of get this real like sucky kind of feeling, and if the dog like was leaning on that side as we hit the eddy, it'd really like pull it down. And so that was kind of the main challenges. But yeah, we got better at managing it as the trip went on. So yeah, we took her down from the Salmon to Broken River.
Broken River's where we pulled up. Yep.
Yeah, and just across from on the seaward side of Broken River, we pulled up there, and there was
not on the sea.
It was the downstream side of Broken River.
Oh, seaward. The seaward side of Broken River. Sorry, yeah, I was thinking of the seaward side of the Wimac, and I was like, wow, I mean, kind of, it's sort of... anyway, all right, I'll give it to you. We're downstream of Broken River on the beach there.
Yeah, it's probably it. Anyway. So we kind of chucked the raft. What time? We probably got there at like 10:30 or something. And then we... Like just gentlemen's hours, and then there's this kind of razorback ridge that leads up off the riverbank. That it's like a spur that goes up from the confluence of the of Broken River and the Waimak. And we went up that ridge, which was, you know, it's a bit interesting at the bottom, like steep little kind of rocky chute to climb up. But then
that,
there's...
That first little piece is a bit dicey, eh? Once you're up there, you're good to go, but that first little piece is...
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, once we were kind of up there, it looks pretty well travelled. And so we walked out onto these terraces up the top, just kind of up above where the railway lines are going through there. And it was just phenomenal up there. It was the gamiest little patch of dirt I've seen in a very long time. It was just heaps of pigsign, heaps of rooting.
Like, ridiculous amount of pigsign. Nothing fresh, but so much.
Just everything turned over, yeah. And then heaps of, like, scat and the odd bit of deer sign. But, yeah, it was cool just walking up there and seeing that. And by the time we were up there, it's kind of 11:30, 12 o'clock. And so we stopped for a spot of lunch under a nice tree. It's quite interesting, the terrain. There was a fire. I don't know, Bruce, if you know how long ago that
fire was. It would have been like, let me think. So me and you went up there like way back, in, probably 2011 or something, up the Avoca, and then... Oh, I probably went back there again, like 2018, and the fire had already been. So, no, I don't know. The fire, like, real vaguely, had been between, say, 2012 and 2017. But, shit, I don't know. That's one thing I was saying to you the other day. I'd love to, like, know when these fires happen. I want to know soon so I can, like, be there the next spring.
Yeah.
To see all this, like, new, fresh growth. Because there's so much going on straight after a fire.
Yeah, it'd be a pretty cool place. And it just had like a, like it had like real like Aussie bush vibes, like these skeletons of burnt out manuka sticking up everywhere. You know, all like smooth wood. Yeah, it was just a really cool kind of area. It was quite grassy and a little swampy in patches, but really open.
Gorse, though, eh?
Yeah, the gorse is really coming back. The gorse will slowly close out that whole area, I think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah,
the gorse will close it out, and then eventually, hopefully, some of that manuka might grow back through, and then the gorse will die out. But if the gorse goes everywhere, fuck. Horrible shit, isn't it? But
yeah. It's kind of an... Yeah, it's probably kind of in the sweet spot at the moment. There's these kind of patches of grass and then patches of gorse in between. And then on the, because by this stage, you're kind of working upstream of, like along the terrace upstream above Broken River. And so like on the slopes down from Broken, leading down to Broken River, that's all kind of manuka.
I reckon all those animals have got to be living in those faces above the rivers, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
The whole way down that gorge is just so much browse, like on the cliff faces. You know, anywhere there's like a little bit of a half flat where something could grow on the cliffs, it's just like trimmed up, looks like a golf green, you know?
Yeah, yeah, all the grass has been like trimmed up real tight. I guess probably the grass hasn't quite kicked off there yet, but yeah, it'd be a great place for once the spring growth gets going. But yeah, I think you're right. I think they must be all living on those on the hills and then coming over onto this kind of burnt out terrace area to feed as well. There's just heaps of sign there, but they're obviously a lot less safe in that area than over on the kind of almost cliff edge.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it'd be easy to... We were there through the middle of the day. It was more an exploratory walk.
We didn't do a lot of hunting, did we? We kind of went up there and had smoke and came back.
Yeah, exactly.
But
cool to go for a walk, though.
Actually, I was talking to Otto last night at the gym, and he's asking how the sausages were. He said, "Oh, were they a bit spicy?" And I was like, "Fuck, mate, were they spicy?" Like, well, I don't know, maybe they weren't. I don't do spicy at all. Like, I'm a mild butter chicken kind of guy, so
And tell them
I
they were
thought they
pretty
were
tasty.
spicy, but they were tasty as hell. Yeah, I told them they were good. Yeah, shout out to you, Otto, for sorting this out with some of your snacks.
They went well with the low carb
The low
wraps.
carb wrap. Jason was giving me dog all weekend. I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. I bought some wraps and they were low carb, and Jason's the skinniest prick you ever seen, so he's just all
There's
he
no
wants to
point.
do
There's
is
no point
put
eating if you're eating like low calorie. Just skip the meal, you know. Save yourself the pack weight. Anyway, next time.
Yeah, next time. So yeah, we went up there for a bit of a tiki tour, and we didn't really no, I mean, we didn't really do any hunting. We just kind of went and rolled the smoke and went back down to the river
Yeah.
to
We're mindful that we had a bit of
we had a bit of paddling to do, eh? And that was a big
yeah.
thing. Like Monday night, you had to get on a plane, so we had to be off the river by a certain time so that we could drive all the way back to the top and pick up the truck and whatnot, you know. So
Yeah.
we bloody back in the paddle and down past the staircase viaduct, which is outstanding. Would have been good to go for a hunt up there, but just kind of run out of time with the way things were. So maybe next time we do it, we'll add an extra day so we can get a good hunt up there.
Yeah, I reckon, or even trying the Broken River, go down Broken River, hunt the staircase.
Well, put the car in at the put the boats in at the Avoca Homestead sort of place, like drive to there, eh? And then float.
Yeah. Because
Yeah, I
even,
reckon
and
that'd be
even if
nice.
you've only got like 2-wheel drive, you can still get to
To the road end.
the road
Yeah.
end, you know, like above the river, next to the
Yeah,
like viaduct that's
exactly.
up there.
Yeah.
And then it's just a
Yeah.
couple hundred meter carry to the river. So
Yeah,
yeah,
very
that'd be
long, eh?
a probably a shorter paddle, but
Yeah.
still lots of the hunting, which would
Yeah,
be
yeah.
a cool one to try. It was cool seeing all the
Yeah.
jet boats going up and down. It obviously gets
Yeah.
hunted a bit, but there's, judging by the amount
Exactly.
of sign and
A lot of guys on the water, so which is good. But
yeah, cool to
it's good to
see.
see people getting out there and getting amongst it, because it's right there. It's so close to Christchurch, and I mean, there's bugger all to it. Like, if I mean, the barrier entry to owning a jet boat's a fair bit of cash, but you know, there's plenty of ways to get on that river doing different things, whether you find somebody who's got a boat or get yourself a raft like we did, or a kayak or something, or I don't know, go for a swim. Like, the water wasn't that cold. So
And a
yeah, I
tube.
suppose, yeah, in a tide tube. I actually seen one on the side of the river when we were coming down, the old tide tube.
Yeah, I'm sure it gets done.
Yeah. But I suppose, yeah, that evening we found ourselves a pretty nice camp, didn't we, on that beach. We've gone. We were below Horseshoe Bend and below Deer Print Cove.
Well, it kind of was different, was
No, it was the next one just past Deer Print.
Oh,
It was, yeah, I can't remember. I've got a map somewhere that tells me all these things. But yeah, so we pulled up there and there was some sign on the river there, eh?
yeah, it's
It
all
was
kind of
down
private
there.
land through there, but
Yeah, that was a bit of a bummer. Like where we
a
pulled
heap of
up there, there
sign.
was, but I think all the land around us was sort of private. So if something had wandered out on the riverbank, like on the river's edge, I think it would be right. But you'd be a rude bastard if you'd gone looking.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
yeah, so nice camp there. Got a good fire going. Bloody ripper of a night, actually a ripper of a campsite there, hey. Nice and flat and like kind of gravelly instead of sandy like the first night. There was shit everywhere. Oh, I mean, it
So it
didn't
just
help that
doesn't
I'll
get everywhere, eh?
yeah it didn't help that on Monty, as soon as I lay down the ground sheet under the fly, Monty comes over and has a big shake off after being in the river, the dirty bastard.
So kind of you to put the ground sheet down for
Oh,
him. It's probably
for him
what he
to have a
was thinking.
shake. Yeah, I know. That's what he thought. Yeah, so And then from there, what are we were just kind of rocked from there down past Woodstock. And
yeah, this was the next morning now. We had a massive fire that night, built a bit of a hearth out of the stones.
Yeah, that's right. You were drying your socks on there.
We were definitely getting a bit cold.
That's one facet thing, of the trip. Yeah, everything gets wet. And I actually, when I dropped your raft off back at Further Faster there, I was having a yarn with the lovely lady there that was taking the raft back. I didn't tell her that you put a dog on it, but she did blow the raft up just to make sure that, yeah.
Held air still.
So she didn't have any problems with how you treated it, which was great. Cool. But I was asking her about just like how you go about like keeping shit dry, and she just kind of said, well, fucking dry bags and everything just gets wet. It's the way it is. You just kind of got to deal with it.
Yeah, pretty key to have kind of at least one set of clothes that stay dry. And
she was saying what a lot of the guys do is run like they've got these massive dry bag packs. So it's just like a full pack that is a dry bag. So instead of how we're running like our little duffels with all our little dry bags, she's saying you just run this whole big thing and then you like nothing's ever wet, because you know how our bags just ended up soaking wet and they were like 3 inches of water in the bottom of them and shit like that? So
just one big dry bag.
Yeah, but they look like they'd be dog ears to like pack with if you had to do any decent hiking. And
just one that would like fit over the top of your pack would be ideal.
Yeah. Well, I've got that bloody Mystery Ranch pack. It's a Mystery Ranch Marshall on a guide light frame, I think it's called. And so it's like the whole pack and bag separate setup. That like, you know, you can do it like the Mystery Ranch having, I think Kafaro run a very similar setup, but I bet slightly different. There's a few other outfits with the same sort of thing, and I could actually strap a massive dry bag just to my frame and leave my pack part at home, because that's not waterproof, so bugger that off, and actually strap a dry bag to the frame, and that way I've still got that really nice solid carrying system. But then just strap a bloody 100-liter dry bag to the bastard, and then everything's dry.
Yeah, that'd be a great way to do it.
That's actually probably, maybe I need to run that.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just get like a real robust kind of dry bag.
Yeah. Like that Stony Creek gun bag we were running.
That turned out being a little piece of kit of the trip, I reckon.
Yeah, kit of the trip, that one. Like, not just for the gun. I mean, we ran the 2-3 in it, which didn't get any bloody use anyway. But just
shot a goose.
Shot a goose, that's right. Shot a goose. But tucking all that other gear into it, like, and it just being that sort of hard wearing, whereas those other dry bags, I've got those like real ultra-light thin things. And the whole time I'm just worried I'm going to
poke more fragile.
But yeah, I mean, I suppose we floated out that morning and down through past Woodstock and wandered down, and then we come along there. Well, we're probably about 5 Ks off the bottom, eh? And I'm going along, you know, minding my own business, having a good time, looking at the willows up ahead and how I'm going to not get tangled up and get upside down and lose my bike like I did the other week. And Jason goes, pig, shit, there's a pig. And my first thought was, how am I going to unstrap the 303 and shoot this pig before I get to the next rapid?
Yeah.
and then I look up, and there's this piglet on the beach. And I'm like, shit. So I paddled my ass off to the other side of the creek there. And pulled up on this little beach. And so this piglet's like, under a cliff, and when I say a beach, like, I mean it was
less patch than of a gravel, meter wide,
yeah, like about half as wide as the Zook and about as long, so not very big at all if you've seen the truck. And then so I pulled up there and I just pulled my boat up, and then I was like, shit, all right, I'll just catch this little bastard. And like, usually piglets are real hard to catch, so I've caught a couple before, and they're slippery little buggers, but because he's stuck on a beach and there's nowhere to go, I just ran him off the end of the beach until he was in the water. and then grabbed it and threw her in. And what did I chucked her in the, well, I put her in what, I unzipped my PFD and my raincoat and tucked her in there and padded it over to you, and we did a bit of a shuffle round, and then I just had it in a jersey, like in the bottom of the boat, which was all good until we had a few, had a bit of rapids, and I had a wave come overboard, and like this pig's only, I mean, shit, it's only 150 mil tall, and we end up with 100 mil of water in the bottom of the boat. Fuck, she wasn't happy, eh?
Yeah. She had a pretty interesting day. I think she was, she wasn't in a good spot where she was on the beach. I don't think she was going to make it.
Nah, she wasn't in a great spot at all, actually. While we're talking of her, I might just go and just check on her, make sure she's doing all right out here. So, yeah, well, I mean, we got the pig and we've kept her, and she's doing bloody good. How you going, bud?
She is a cute little thing.
Oh, she's the cutest little thing at all. So I'm actually going to bring her inside. It's starting to rain out there. It's a bit cold. She's inside pig.
So yeah. The Captain Cook is now an inside apartment pig.
Yeah. So don't worry about the little honks in the background there. That's just Mac. And well, actually, while we're on the subject of Mac, if you're looking for a pig that you want to raise, maybe for Christmas or New Year's or something like that, for feed, sing out, because I've got a pig and I live in a tiny little apartment in the middle of the city, and unfortunately there's not really enough room for a pig. So yeah, but I mean, that kind of ended our trip, didn't it? We caught the pig, and about five k's later, we come around the corner and we were home.
Yeah, good to be able to say we actually got some, you know, had some wild game encounters.
Yeah.
Aside from that pig, we didn't see a. We saw another pig at one stage, but otherwise it.
Oh, that's not right. Yeah, that was on the horseshoes, wasn't it?
Yeah, but just generally didn't see a lot of game. I think, you know, rafting in the very early or very late in the day would have been. I think then you'd start to pick up animals.
Yeah.
On the riverbank.
Early in the morning's probably best. Like late in the day, you could end up cooking yourself where you end up on the river in the dark, and then not so great. But I think if you knew where you were on the river and you jumped on the river before it got light in the morning, you'd know that it wouldn't be too long before the sun was up and you'd be okay again. But I wouldn't want to be jumping on the river half an hour before dark. You know, end up cooking the chop.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose that's pretty much that yarn. That's our Waimate Gorge pack raft trip. I had an absolute blast. I think you did too, didn't you, Jase?
Yeah, it was a great little trip. Thank you, Bruce.
And thank you for bloody chucking me a message and sorting that one out real quick, because it all come together. So
yeah,
we'll have to sort it out again.
Yeah, I'll be a starter for sure.
Bloody good. Awesome. Well, thanks for the yarn this evening, and thanks to anybody who's listening to this bloody thing. We'll try and do one of these, maybe not every week, but every couple of weeks when we've got a bit of a yarn from a recent trip. We'll get a few people on who've done some cool trips, or just talk about some trips that we've done ourselves, and go over a few photos and some yarns about the trip, and going over a bit of a hot topic of what's happening in the sort of outdoor space, the hunting space. Give us a comment or a like, let us know what you think of it, and if it's dog, maybe don't let us, let us know, but you know, be gentle. You know, we're just learning. So yeah, have a good evening, and cheers.